On this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Our consciousness is not restricted to our physical body. Our consciousness is connected to everything around us. Simply, I can call it the language of consciousness.
And you can capture this in a waveform.
We've captured hundreds and hundreds of measurements.
Do you feel that these are ways to combine modern technology with this ancient form of faith healing that you feel was probably something you were born with?
That's a beautiful question.
Health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show. Folks, the interview that you were about to hear was recorded after I had a chance to go through a treatment with a so-called faith healer, a guy named Isam Nime, based out of Cleveland, Cleveland physician. He has healed tens of thousands of people. There's a whole book about him called Miracles Every Day, The Story of One Physician's Inspiring Faith and the Healing Power of Prayer. Apparently the guy works miracles. No, I'm serious. I did not believe this at first, but the stories in the book and the testimonials of legitimate, trustworthy people, many of whom I know, is somewhat mind-blowing. We're talking like injuries healed and cancers cured and sight and hearing restored. You got to read the book to learn even more about what this guy does and how powerful his work is. I mean, if I could just give you a little flavor, there's one article that was in the news recently that says when Dr. Nime was 15 years old, he had a vision that he would share his gift of faith with thousands, but first he would have to form a solid basis for his ministry with a medical practice. So midway through his career, he switched to the practice of meridian regulatory acupuncture, MRA, which is different than traditional Chinese acupuncture. It consists of two parts, a diagnostic procedure and a treatment procedure. The diagnosis involves measuring the electrical resistance of the body at different points on the skin, known as meridian points. These measurements are graphed, and treatment is performed with a small needle, temporarily inserted for a few seconds. By the way, he did that to me. He diagnosed me. He did a bunch of treatments on me. The article goes on. He says he made the career change because he felt the Lord told him this new practice would give him a one-on-one time to work with people. And by the way, you guys, he works with people. Like, people go to his office, he'll be in there with them for like 1 or 2 hours. This isn't like a 15-minute get in, get out, you know. Write the guy a check so he can go buy fancy cars and drive him around wearing a purple suit on TV. See, he's not one of these guys. I realize this after hanging out with him. So anyway, 6 days a week, he combines acupuncture and prayer for his patients. The Sundays are spent standing for 9 hours in churches and meeting halls without a break at different healing services. Although apparently he doesn't do as much of those now with COVID and everything. But the article goes on. Cancer tumors vanish. Vision is restored. Other dramatic healings take place after he prays for people. A really interesting guy. Obviously, I interview so many doctors and healers. I had to do a show with this guy. So I hope you find it interesting. All of the show notes I will put at bengreenfieldfitness.com/miracles every day. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/miracles every day. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong, it's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy.
More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis or sweating or doing hot yoga or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again, by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Welcome to the show. I am here at the home of Dr. Esam Nime. I just left his clinic where we spent, what, about 45 minutes to an hour or so, Doctor? Going through a series of very unique treatments, electroacupuncture and vibration and pulsed electromagnetic field therapy and a wonderful conversation during. And I wasn't quite sure what to expect when I dropped in to see you, but it was quite a unique experience. And then we went over to your house to record today's show. Your wife, Kathy, told me that she wanted us to have some lunch before we recorded. And of course, I never turned down food, so I said yes. And I walked in and we've got this spread of like a dozen different
Syrian delicacies and desserts and wonderful foods, many of which I'd never even seen before. But I just had an amazing meal. My apologies to all of our listeners if I drop into a food coma while we're chatting. And then your daughter, Ashley, I didn't realize you had such a talented family. She sang us a beautiful song before dinner and played us some of her music on Spotify after dinner. And so I thought as an interesting way to begin today's show, that I'd finagle Ashley into singing us in, just because she has the voice of an angel, and you guys, I'd be remiss not to share with you her voice that I was so blessed to have just heard. So, Dr. Newman, where'd she get that from? Did she get that from you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. When did you first realize that your daughter could sing like that?
Oh, since she was a very tiny kid.
Yeah.
So we knew early on she has that gift.
Amazing.
Yes.
Wow. Wow, and you also, I suppose this might be a good place for us to start, feel as though you were given a gift as well from an early age.
My story is different. I cannot call it a gift. I call it a belonging, because it's a state of mind that binds you, actually, to our Lord. And the laws that apply are different from the natural laws here. So it's a nature, it's not a gift. Mm-hmm. That's how I call it, belonging to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It started very early in life. I mean, I can recall even the birth and who was there.
You can recall your own birth.
I can recall.
Do you mean like in vivid detail? Or?
In vivid details, even with the names and who delivered me and everything. And every day
that's
since.
That's not common. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of that.
I've encountered a couple over the years that they could recall some, some memories.
Mm-hmm.
But here it was in detail, and I had the encounter actually. I think it's God's will in it, in order for me to be able to share a knowledge that is not available when it comes to our fallen nature, basically, to the original sin itself. Because here, once you take your first breath, you become a separate entity. That's when the ego starts. And I recall that moment. And it's an overwhelming type of experience, because a different consciousness before, it's just an awareness of belonging to God. Basically, we come from Him. It's so overwhelming for the senses, it drives you, actually, sort of pushes you into the physical experience. This was the moment where I was not happy about it, because I suffered separation.
When you were a baby?
When I was born. Yeah.
What do you mean you suffered separation?
Separation. I felt the separation from God.
Hmm.
You know, when this happened. And it was the scar was so deep. That's when I had the first encounter with the Lord Jesus.
You mean like prior to being born, you feel as though that you were intimately with God, and then after being born, you were brought into a space where you felt disconnected from God here on earth?
Suffered the separation, yes. And it was scarring. And that's when I had the encounter with the Lord. You know, and told me, if you want to come back with me, you can. I prefer you to be here, but it's your decision. So I'm guilty of the original sin, and so I decided to I'll stay here. And he started disappearing, but during the process of his disappearance.
You mean the regret or the angst over needing to be on earth now started disappearing?
No, the Lord started disappearing.
The Lord started disappearing.
Okay.
His voice coming to you that
clearly. Yeah, turned around, started disappearing. Mm-hmm. So the last thing I said, please don't allow me to forget.
Mm-hmm.
And his last word was, you will never forget. And I haven't forgotten a day since the time of my birth.
What did you ask not to forget?
I didn't want to forget my belonging to him.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. So you went, I mean, you obviously have a fascinating story. There's an entire book for those of you listening in, which is where I first discovered Esam, called Miracles Every Day, the story of one physician's inspiring faith and the healing power of prayer. And if you go and look at some of the articles about Dr. Nime that I'll link to, if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/miraclesevery day, you know, it's fascinating, this whole concept of healing that you do. And I originally had the impression that you were one of these people who just, you know, laid your hands on someone and did some kind of a prayer for hands-on healing. And when I visited your clinic, I see that you also have all manner of technology, electroacupuncture and PEMF and the vibration therapy and all these devices that you use, and that you have a background in electrical engineering as well. So walk me through what occurs from, you know, this time that you were born, that you felt as though you had been connected with God, you had that calling to God not to forget that, but then going on into life, did you feel as though you were called to something different? And if so, how did you come to develop?
I had that feeling, and it continued by the age of around 14. I was walking down the street in front of a church. I had a vision, actually of what I am doing right today. And it overwhelmed me because it happened when I was outside. I had a deep type of a knowing about what I'm going to be doing in the future, but I didn't have the details. So this definitely influenced my decision later on.
Like how not having the details are you talking? Like you knew you were supposed to help people, but you didn't know what that looked like?
I knew the general concept of what I am doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know the fine details about, let's say, delivering, treating, stuff
right.
like that.
Okay.
The concept in general was revealed. And here I started with the electronic engineering. I didn't want to stay there. So I shifted to the medical school.
And medical school.
The medical school. Then I had the interest, a lot of interest when it comes to energy in general, medicine and stuff like that. I was very inspired about that stuff.
Yeah.
From early on.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I can tell you're a little bit of a nerd in that department because you're showing me all these devices that you've invented for therapy. We can get into that later on, artificial intelligence software and all sorts of crazy things I hadn't seen before. But you got that because originally you were in electrical engineering, or at least that's what you were interested in.
And
then you decided to shift into medicine.
Yes, in physics in general. You know, and after medical school, I went into medicine. I was in Germany at the time.
Is that where you went to medical school, is in Germany?
No, in Poland.
Okay.
Then from Poland, moved to Germany, Germany at the time. Mm-hmm. And from Germany, I had actually a vision before about coming to America at an early age, actually. I knew. And
was almost like part of the calling that you had was to be in America.
Definitely. And the way I came here, it was miraculous too, because they were not giving any visas to any guy who was born in Syria at the time. You know.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. We didn't mention that part, but you were born in Syria.
Yes.
Jewish Italian.
The origin is Jewish Italian.
Okay.
Yeah. And. And then when I came here, I did jaw surgery for about 3 years, and they switched to anesthesia, you know, and did open heart.
Mm-hmm.
But during all that time, I had that interest when it comes to what I am doing today. You know, like let's say measuring patients. You know, checking the electrical resistance and stuff like that. The Japanese doctor Nagatani started that.
Mm-hmm.
I was very interested in that type of.
The very first thing that we did when I visited your clinic today, you actually self-quantified and you were measuring, and perhaps later on after you finished telling your story about how you came to do what you do now, we can get into what exactly that was. So, but it was just fascinating.
We started measuring my patients, let's say, before taking them for the open heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before and after, and I started noticing trends that repeated themselves with every patient.
Hmm.
Let's say when it comes to the coronary, let's say artery.
Right.
You know, and I expanded that into different systems in the body. Lungs, vascular, neuro, stuff like this. And based upon tens of thousands, actually, of treatments that I've done and following up with my patients, and I ended up developing the diagnostic program.
Okay.
And it's an artificial intelligence one.
Okay.
Program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when people write about you and when you're described in this book, Miracles Every Day, I would say that at least I personally got the impression that there was a great deal of incorporated into what you do this idea of prayer and of faith-based healing. At what point did that enter the picture, and how did you actually kind of have that realization that it was a gift that you had?
That picture has been with me since childhood.
Did you heal people when you were a child?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
We used to see a lot of family members or neighbors, elderly people. I've taken care of a lot of them at that time, and they used to experience a lot of healings.
You mean they would literally come
they
to you when you were a child, and you would
put
your hands
on them? Yes, they asked me
to
come, and you know.
And you would pray for them?
Or? Yes, I did.
And could you tell inside of your body as a child when you would put your hands on these sick people that something was happening?
The connectedness, yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How would you describe that to people? What's that feeling like?
Our consciousness is not restricted to our physical body. Our consciousness is connected to everything around us. And in here, when you belong, the original awareness plays a major role when it comes to your perception. Mm-hmm. So if anything is happening in your body, I perceive it as happening in my body.
Mm.
I mean, literally, to that
degree. You mean if
degree.
I were anxious or stressed right now, you would sense that within your body?
I can
body?
Sense it.
Interesting.
Yes. And even pains. And a lot of people I've dealt with over the years, they lost their speech.
Mm-hmm.
They could not talk or communicate. Mm-hmm. I was able to localize, actually, their pains.
When someone would be in the same room as you, could you tell, even without them speaking to you or talking to you, that something was wrong with them or they were feeling pain in a specific area because you would feel something similar?
Yes, yes, to that degree. And even when I communicate with people over the internet,
wow.
I feel them the same way. Because there is no space, no time when it comes to our consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's a non-locality.
So is what you're referring to, would it be similar to like a collective consciousness? Like the idea that we're all a member of the same species living on this planet and we're all somehow interconnected via more of like a quantum, like a photonic standpoint than many of us are even aware of or than what might be provable, but that when one person feels or sees or senses something, that someone else who is connected to them in that quantum manner can feel or sense or see the same thing?
Exactly. It's a quantum field.
Does everyone have the ability to be able to tap into that quantum field? Or do you think that you're special?
Yes. Based upon our origin, every single one of us is equipped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the consciousness is a quantum field.
Mm-hmm.
A field that has all possibilities and probabilities in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many decisions can we make ourselves? Infinite number of decisions.
Yeah.
So our origin is from the same place. Scientifically speaking, yeah, you could call it belonging to the same quantum field.
So if you knew that you had this gift, that you had this skill when you were young, why didn't you just go straight into medicine? Why did you choose electrical engineering instead? It seems like an odd transition.
To start with, I had that thing caring about other people, and the experiences that I had at the time before making that decision were very clear cut for me. It's caring about the others.
Yeah,
and I was experiencing healings at that time too.
Describe to me one of the healings.
People having, let's say, bad spinal issues, especially in the elderly or stuff like that, or injuries, and getting the healing just by putting my hands on them.
You told me when we were back at your office that there was someone who was actually paralyzed.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
We taped that. At the time we were doing research. And the lady was in Toledo, and she had a crushed spinal cord at the upper lumbar level, and she was completely paralyzed. And we did it via Skype, and the recording was done in Virginia. You could see it from the start till the end when she got up.
And she was in Virginia and you were here?
No, she was in Toledo. I was here in Cleveland. And the recording was happening in Virginia about the frequencies that were...
They were recording the actual frequencies in Virginia.
Frequencies of the healing that was happening in the lady. And we taped it.
How were they recording this?
Via Skype.
Okay.
On the Skype. And they were recording. They had the instrumentation.
I see. So they had both of you on Skype. She was in Toledo.
Toledo.
You were here. A team in Virginia filming this.
Yes.
Is this film available for people to see?
I think, they have it. I have to ask Kathy. They have all the recordings and all that. But it, right from being completely paralyzed to standing and walking. But what is interesting about those things...
What did you do to get her to stand up and walk? You just prayed.
The prayer. And the intention with the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it translates itself. Actually, at one time, I had a similar case, and it was in Virginia, though. The case, and I was communicating through the Skype and recorded the frequencies during the time of the healing. So I took the recording itself, applied it through magnets on another patient with the same diagnosis and recovered. So the future plan is to delve deeper into that type of therapy.
Do you feel anything in your body when someone is healed? Like when you are with them, you described how you could sense an area or an illness or an injury that they might have that needs to be dealt with. But then let's say you were to place your hands on someone or pray over them or even pray over them virtually, such as via Skype. Can you feel, do you feel something click inside you when you know that the work has been done or that they're on the road to healing?
I feel the frequencies of the healing. And I even hear it.
What's it feel like?
It feels like an info. It's like you are downloading the info. Yeah, it feels like that. Actually, we have that. The first paper, I made it available on the web.
Yeah, you were telling me about that paper in your office. What's the paper exactly? Because I'll look it up and put it in the show notes.
It's about the frequencies that we recorded.
Is it on PubMed or something
like
that?
It's on drnamia.com.
Okay, drnamia.com. I'll find it and link to it in the show notes. Mm. Okay, so what's this paper about exactly?
It's about the recording the frequencies during the time of the prayer.
Okay, so when you say frequencies, for people who are listening who might not understand, what kind of, are these brainwave frequencies that you're measuring, or what kind of frequencies?
No, the frequencies we are measuring are the frequencies that manifest themselves and during the time of the prayer on the Skype itself.
Okay. Oh, I see it here. Measurement and analysis of continuous and discrete modulated emissions recorded during healing intercessory prayer. And you have a whole paper on this. So you describe it in the paper as electromagnetic monitoring. How's that work exactly?
Oscilloscopes. We have
oscilloscopes.
We use oscilloscopes.
Is this similar to measuring? Because some people to measure whether someone's electrochemical balance is proper, they'll measure what's called the phase angle of the body. Is it something similar to this, or
it's different?
Okay. How's it work exactly?
That's the subject of the
The subject of the paper. What are you using for the measurement? Is it similar to what I was holding
and
using?
No.
What's an oscilloscope?
I was not. Okay. Yeah.
And what, how would you describe an oscilloscope to people?
Well, the oscilloscope is an instrument that measures frequencies.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you're measuring cellular frequencies?
No, measuring the info coming from the quantum field down to the physical body.
Okay. All right. So these are things that really people wouldn't be familiar with having seen measured before.
Yeah. Simply, I can call it the language of consciousness.
Wow. And you can capture this in a waveform.
We've captured hundreds and hundreds of measurements. And I hear it every time I'm praying with somebody, especially on the web.
So this is measurable, this is quantifiable using an oscilloscope, but you personally, as a human being, have been able to almost be like a human oscilloscope since a very early age.
We are. Mm-hmm. We are oscilloscopes too.
We are, not just you are, but all humans
are. We are antennas.
Yeah.
Yes, we can perceive many things.
Do you think that very similar to how in an era of Google Maps and GPS and satellite imagery that we have perhaps lost a more natural ancestral ability to be able to, let's say, sense north, south, east, and west intuitively, that human beings actually do have the capability to be able to interact with each other in a far deeper, more meaningful and almost like a quantum photonic way that many of us simply do not know how to do or are not aware enough of those abilities to be able to tap into?
100%.
Can it be taught?
It can. You have to raise the consciousness to a certain level where you be able to perceive those things.
And when you say raise the consciousness, is that like a path of spiritual enlightenment that you raise the consciousness?
You can call it spiritual mindset, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can actually lead people into that type of state of mind. That could allow them the access and to tell you the truth, that's our origin to begin with. And the thing that we forget about by the age of 4 or 5.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life, you don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just 2 bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You can put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. It contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again, by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and your yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. That'll give you 20% off your first order.
People who have this elevated level of consciousness, do you see patterns in them in terms of the way that they're living or things that they do that allow them to be able to be more conscious of other human beings in the way that you are?
Usually that's the case. Now in this, we can perceive each other. Recognize right away without knowing the people.
Are there common characteristics that you see in these people?
It's a feeling of connectedness, that you perceive. Same thing applies between mother and child. When there's something happening, they are connected. And there are many cases actually presented, documented cases of that type of connectedness between two individuals.
Would you say that a practice of mindfulness and presence would be an example of something that you'd see in someone who's able to detect that consciousness to a greater degree?
Yes, and some of my patients, actually, the chronic ones that stuck with me for a longer time, or some individuals too that did stick themselves with me, ended up perceiving and having that type of perception develop in them. So, yes. And it's part of every single one of us, a part that we are having amnesia to,
Do you ever, when you are healing people in this fashion, do you feel as though it tires you? Does it exhaust you? Do you feel, because I sometimes think about, for example, Jesus Christ in the New Testament and how he knew, how he felt almost like a power come out of him when, for example, a woman who was sick would touch his garment and he would feel that power come out of him. Does this tire you? Does it exhaust you when you're healing people?
It depends on the case. It depends on the particular case. If people are connected, actually, I experience a healing myself too.
What healing did you experience?
I feel like if I'm having any pains or anything like this that are affecting me during that time, I feel the healing with it to myself. And then sometimes I feel a lot of pain.
You do?
Because I perceive them, especially when there is resistance, let's say. Or a case where people were very abused in their life, and I feel that sadness. That part really makes me suffer with them.
Wow. I came into your clinic this morning prior to that fantastic lunch that we just had, and you spent about 45 minutes with me. And you began by placing an object in my hands that seemed to be some kind of a currency type of device. It was a grounding device, like a grounding rod that you placed in my hand. And then you proceeded to take some measurements on me using a device that allowed the software that was connected from that device to your computer to quantify something about my body. What exactly was that? What was the initial measurement you were doing on me?
Yeah, the initial measurements was based upon giving about 200 microamps of electricity along different meridians.
Okay, and so you were measuring meridians.
Checking conductivity along those lines.
Okay.
Simple, straightforward.
Is that something commonly done in, for example, acupuncture or traditional Chinese medicine?
I wouldn't say commonly. The Japanese usually started with that, mm-hmm. and in Germany. It started, mm-hmm. The original measurement started in Germany in the early 50s.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, and some people do use that, yes.
Uh-huh. You know. And this software that is then identifying which body systems, which body parts might be ill or in some kind of a state of dis-ease, that's something that's picked up as you measure these meridians.
Yeah, a lot of authorities try to mm-hmm. Develop it as such. From my experience over many years, and based upon tens of thousands actually that I've treated, the interpretation is not that kind of a simple, like going along a lung meridian, let's say, will give me the picture, full picture about the lungs. It's way more complicated than that, because here in our body we do circulate a bioelectrical field, mm-hmm. and it runs through tributaries and it branches out. Now, if you have any pathology or anything, any impediment along a certain line, it will shift part of the bioelectrical field that is flowing through that to different tributaries. And if the other tributaries are involved, it will shift to different tributaries too. So I cannot just take one measurement and based upon that measurement along a certain meridian and draw the conclusion. Mm-hmm. I have to look at other areas too in conjunction with that. So the interpretation is more complex. That's how I developed the AI, diagnostic AI, based upon that.
And is that software using diagnostic AI, artificial intelligence?
No, this one that I used on you?
Uh-huh.
No.
But you're developing kind of an upgrade
of
software?
I finished it already.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you using it right now in your practice?
I'm not using it in my practice. I'll be testing that next week.
Okay. Okay, so this is all kind of new, some of these measurements that you're doing then, in terms of the technology that you're developing.
The measurements mm-hmm. are the same, mm-hmm. The same principle, mm-hmm. you know. But the interpretation is, we have our own already software, you know, done.
What did you decide that you wanted to develop AI software because you wanted to take what you currently do and what you know to be scalable to other physicians, for example, to be able to use this same software?
For the future, you know, mm-hmm. right now is as a wellness, mm-hmm. in general, as a wellness tool. Mm-hmm. It will be on your phone, mm-hmm. and it will allow you actually to assess the effect of different things that you are experiencing during your daily life, whether food or activities or anything like that.
If it's on your phone, you know, for example, I wear this continuous blood glucose monitor on my arm.
Yes.
And, you know, conceptually, it's pretty simple. I use my phone, the app on my phone, to scan that and get my blood glucose. Would someone be needing to wear some kind of a sensor or a patch similar?
No, it would be the tool I developed will be a wireless.
Okay.
Small tool. And they can show you the pictures of it.
And it would tie to an app on the phone?
And yeah, wirelessly. It will be tying into to the app, you know, the app or whatever.
So to explain this to people, you can use myself as an example if you would like. When you scanned me and then you looked at the computer, what are you looking for at that point before you begin a treatment in terms of what the computer is telling you?
Draw the conclusions about the areas that are involved in your body.
Okay.
It's like sort of mapping for me.
What type of things did you notice when you scanned me?
that it needs your
proprietary information.
Yes,
you have my permission to share.
Oh, okay. I noticed some microcirculation issue. Mm-hmm.
Microcirculation.
Yes, and it was 100% related mm-hmm. to the upper back and neck area.
Mm-hmm.
There was some abnormality there, and okay. there are other things that I could read. Mm-hmm. You know, as a result, like a fatigue, I can predict.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I could predict a little bit of anxiety that was related actually to the same problem.
To the anxiety related to the same upper neck and back problem.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay, and it tells me exactly what I have to do, mm-hmm. physically speaking, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to the therapy I delivered.
So at that point then, what are some of the tools that you rely upon?
Many things we could use when it comes to this system, from microcurrents down to light even,
okay.
Magnetic fields, even sound.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I think the first thing that you did was you took out, I believe you referred to as electroacupuncture.
Microcurrent.
And how does that work, microcurrent?
Microcurrent along the meridians.
Mm-hmm.
The current I used is a DC current.
Mm-hmm.
And the DC current is more physiological.
The DC current,
more physiological than any AC you use.
Yeah, I've interviewed a few people who develop electromyostimulation devices for muscle training.
Okay.
And the best ones use a DC current.
DC current.
Yeah, yeah.
I've noticed that years back. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I use a microcurrent, minute, mm-hmm. you know, minute amount.
Okay.
And by doing that, you open actually the channels.
So it's very similar to acupuncture, except those needles weren't really penetrating my skin. They were resting on the surface of the skin. With electrical conductivity applied to the actual
yes.
needles
and
themselves.
It does change the conductivity mm-hmm. along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So it opens up the system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the effects of the system are tremendous. Actually, it optimizes the environment for the cells to function.
You think better than right acupuncture?
Way better.
Wow.
Actually, what we can achieve is way different and more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, we have permanent results.
Wow. Wow. Do people need to come back for repeat treatments, or do you typically find that something like microcurrent has a lasting effect?
A lasting effect. Many patients that came my way, especially with neuromuscular or skeletal muscular problems, many, many of them actually was one time experience.
Wow.
And over the years, I've never had any patient that came back with the same problem when I was done with their therapy.
Really?
Never.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got the electroacupuncture, and then you also had some type of it was like a large white circular device that you placed on different sections of my body that vibrated and that I think you told me was creating some kind of a magnetic signal also?
Yes, a magnetic field.
And what was that?
Magnetic field, I measured the strength of it and the penetration about 12 inches.
Okay.
But long time ago, I noticed when you do that, it affects all tissues, nerves, muscles, bones, and I've done that for 20 some years. But when I combine it with the displacement at the same time, I noticed that it becomes more effective. And we can solve many problems, actually, but just by using that combination.
Which combination?
The displacement that it causes, the vibration itself.
Okay, the displacement. When you say displacement, you're referring
displacement,
to the vibration.
Vibration.
It's almost like a giant car buffer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can even stimulate the spinal cord through that, even the brain.
But that device that's doing the massaging, the displacing, that also has a magnetic signal that's traveling through it?
It has a magnetic field, yes.
Is it like a pulsed electromagnetic field, like
yes.
a PEMF?
Yes.
Okay, so you actually have... Did you design this, or is this
a
known device?
I did. That's my patent.
Okay, so you patented this device that combines vibration and PEMF, and after you do the electroacupuncture, you're placing this device on different areas of the body.
Yes, it depends on the case, too.
Mm-hmm.
I see any areas of deformity or arthritic changes in different joints, stuff like that, then I apply it. And major application in addition to
the joints are, is the spine itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like deformities and all that. I can fix deformities just using that.
Yeah. Are you, do you feel that God is working through those instruments? Do you feel that these are ways to combine modern technology with this ancient form of faith healing that you feel was probably something that you were born with?
That's a beautiful question, because it defines everything that I stand for. I cannot separate the spirit from the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cannot separate that. I cannot separate a science from spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So using the instruments I used on you, definitely they have their own effect. There's no question whatsoever. But the intention, my intention towards your healing plays a major role in doing that. Over the years, you know, having that type of experience, it was very clear cut. Your intention could translate itself using different sources of energy.
Okay.
So if you have the right intention and you are connected, it will definitely improve the outcome of your patients.
So when you're using these type of technologies, do you feel as though it enhances the effects that one might be able to achieve through, let's say, something more basic such as like a hands-on healing?
Exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because here it depends too on the person.
Are you praying as you're using these devices?
Continuously, I do. And people don't have to
know. Do people know that you're praying?
They don't have to know.
They don't know?
No, they don't have to know.
When you're talking with someone as you're doing the therapy, are you simply just praying in the back of your head, or what does that look like?
I'm always connected. Mm-hmm. I reached a level where I don't even have to mention, to even say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a continuous type of feeling that you have. Love.
You don't need to mention a word to God, you mean?
No, I don't have. Mm-hmm. I don't have to mention a word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm continuously connected. I call it belonging.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so I carry it with me all day long,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's there, always. Like you love somebody. You love your wife. Throughout the day, you forget about your wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely she's...
Don't tell her mind. I said yes, but yeah, she's not. Okay. She's on the forefront of my mind all day long, 24/7.
I'm giving an example to, you know, simplify, you know, the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have true love, you don't have to say a word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a feeling.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got this this vibration, the PMF, the electroacupuncture. I noticed you also had a large variety of what looks to be lasers. Use the lasers a lot also?
I use even light therapy, regular mm-hmm. light therapy.
You mean infrared light therapy?
Infrared, yeah. Even when it comes to your intention, even regular floodlight I can use.
Hmm. You mean just like shining that in someone's eyes? Or?
Yeah, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's a source of energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, well, the entire body is lined with photoreceptors, right?
Okay.
So. You would use you
all
could use
matter
that.
Is energy
you,
anyway.
You could use light very similar to a laser as a spot treatment over an area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, if you are using without that intention that we talked about,
mm-hmm.
different lasers will have different effects.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. But when you are praying for somebody, I don't even. I have to choose any source of energy mm-hmm. to begin with. So I can use even regular floodlight and achieve the same result.
Hmm. Interesting. Are there other tools that you find indispensable in your own practice in terms of technologies? I mean, you seem, and I didn't know your background was in electrical engineering, but you seem very interested in developing technologies, patenting technologies, and using a wide variety of medical tools.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing very interesting that could explain some of the stuff that it could inspire you mm-hmm. about technologies that we could develop. I leave the music all the time in my room, in my treatment room.
And I heard it.
And some,
it's peaceful.
Very peaceful. Some of them are very inspired
mm-hmm.
pieces. And I've been witnessing that for many years. When the healing starts happening with some of my patients, their body starts responding to the inspired music.
How so?
A part of their body will start moving to a different instrument.
You mean like they're physically moving, or you can feel the frequencies moving?
Huh. Physically moving.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it tells you how effective that music is, those frequencies are.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, there's an entire field of sound medicine and sound healing.
What I'm talking about is so complex, even deformities in front of your eyes will start correcting.
In response to sound therapy?
Dancing.
Yeah.
And so harmonious throughout the whole body.
Do you ever use tuning forks or anything like that?
I never tried that.
Or sound healing, like tables, acoustic therapy, or is it primarily just playing the music?
I believe in those. Mm-hmm. Actually, I use it, acoustic too, you know.
Yeah.
But not one simple frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people talk about simple frequencies, but it's way more complex than one frequency, you see? And the paper I told you about, that we did, layers and layers of modulated, actually, signals, frequencies. So it's not one. I mean, if you think about it, one element, every element has its own frequency.
Mm-hmm.
When you have an area that is getting a healing, you know how complex the info that comes in that could effect a change in that particular place? Is it set?
It's pretty complex because you have different cells produce different frequencies, different organs, different tissues. And it's not as though you're treating just one cell or just one element or just one mineral.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's way more complex than one frequency to be used.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So when you're using music or when you're using sound healing, you would say that you would combine a varying degree of frequencies.
Yes. Not only this, your mind does generate. Your intention generates frequencies, healing frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. When you say your intention generates healing frequencies, do you mean that when you say the word intention, are you referring to intention the way that many people would think of it, such as, you know, having an intention when you wake up in the morning to be more present, or
it's more
having
more intention than that?
Would it be an intention based on really desiring for an area of the body to be healed?
To be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Would you say that the intention needs to be paired with a deep faith that that area can be healed?
Faith is not enough.
Okay.
It has to be a practical faith.
And what do you mean by that?
Love. Love is the essence.
How so?
Love is the power that connects everything together. Mm. Love is the power that connects Father to Son. See?
Mm-hmm.
Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And love is what connects you to your own body, actually.
So if someone is
They think about it as a feeling. Yeah. It's more than a feeling. It's the power that connects everything together.
Mm-hmm. So would you say then that someone who has an injury or an illness, let's say someone has, I don't know, a tennis elbow and they're coming to see you for that, that they need to have a faith that that can be healed? They need to have an intention to heal it? No faith.
They don't have to have
But
anything.
Intention.
They don't have to have anything. All they have to do is have good heart inside.
Okay. Is it enough for you, the healer, to have the intention and the faith then?
Yes.
And for that person to simply be present with love?
Yes. Hmm. Yes.
Can you tell when someone has come into your office if they are not in a state to be healed, if they do not have a good heart, or if they cannot love?
And that's my job, actually.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to change their heart.
Mm-hmm. How do you do
and
that?
And change their mind.
Do you do that when you're talking with
you
them?
You do that by addressing their body to reach their mind. And I've been very successful over the years in doing that. That's my mission, actually. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean addressing their body to reach their mind?
I cannot separate the mind from body.
Mm-hmm.
So the connection is not only from mind to body. The connection is from body to mind, too. Mm-hmm. You see? So in my therapy, I address the body in those people in order for their mind to open up.
So in terms of this mind-body connection, is this similar to the teachings of, say, like, you know, Bruce Lipton in the book Biology of Belief, this idea that negative emotions will deleteriously affect a certain aspect of the body, and that positive emotions and positive belief patterns and prayers can induce a beneficial frequency that shifts the body into a state where it can be healed?
I don't know about Bruce Lipton, what he did. But from what I've seen, there's and in medicine, that's a known fact. Actually, we've known that for many years. People that come in, they have the right state of mind. They want to survive. They want to get healed. They get a healing. How many people we used to send back, you know, send them home, end-stage cancers? A couple of years later, they come back and they are perfectly healthy. Mm. Or they come in for open heart surgery. Young people that come in with a negative type of state of mind and they tell you we are going to die, those are the ones who usually have complications and many of them die as a result.
Right.
And you get
because they believe that
because
they
their
are
mindset
Ill because
is not
told.
Right.
Yeah.
So it does reflect. Or the elderly, they come in, they are positive, they want to survive, and a couple of days after they open heart, they get up and go home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How many cancer patients I've seen myself in the office? They come in with that positive type of state of mind from stage four down to nothing. They get a healing.
Mm-hmm.
So though the mind, the effect of the mind upon your health is very, very clear cut. From a biblical perspective, Adam and Eve, before the fall, they were not supposed to experience any illness or die.
Mm-hmm.
But after the fall, when their mind changed, then they, experienced the illness and they died.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So biblically speaking, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, your mind definitely plays a major role. I ask my patients when they come in, especially cancer patients, about stressful situations, and I would say at least 98% of those tell me they were going through a hard time.
When they were diagnosed.
When they were diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you think that that's because when they were going through a hard time that they had some kind of an illness or an immune system issue come up that caused them to go and get tested that then allowed a cancer to be identified because, you know, normally they hadn't been testing and then they decided to because something had popped up? Or do you think that when someone is in a stressful scenario, it allows a body that's susceptible to cancer to actually allow for that cancer to take hold and develop?
It does. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things, major things that are behind the cancer.
Mm-hmm. So that there is kind of a strong, almost like an epigenetic component to what you do in terms of diseases that someone might be susceptible to manifesting based on a state of mind that they're in.
Influence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, there is more than one, you know, one thing that affects that.
Yeah.
Low immunity, a diet, low vitamin D.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. A combination of things. It's not only one component, but a stress component is always present.
Have you taught many other physicians or practitioners what you do? Is this something that other people are practicing now?
Not one so far.
No, you haven't taught anyone so far?
So far, not one. Showed the interest.
Are you concerned about if you, and sorry for what might be kind of a negative question, but like if you die, that all this information just dies
and,
along
and
with
that's
you?
That's the sad part that I've been suffering with. That's the sad thought that I've been going through for many years right now. If I die, it dies with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so effective in healing many things. Mm-hmm. You know, it saddens me. I'm very sad about that fact. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I resorted to at least leave some kind of technology that could store a lot of the information that I know. Mm-hmm. And that's why I developed that Ninurta, you know, artificial intelligence diagnostic. And it's not only a diagnostic tool. I have in the future, it will be a delivery tool too.
Hmm.
You know, therapy tool in addition.
Yeah.
So you store a lot of that info into it, you know.
Your son told me while we were driving over to your house from your clinic that there's also some type of a mouthpiece that you're developing.
I developed it already.
What is that exactly?
It does eradicate gum disease.
Eradicates gum disease. How?
Microcurrent.
Oh, really?
Microcurrent in the mouth. And, you know, I used to treat a lot of patients.
So do you wear this mouthpiece while you sleep or something like that?
No, all you have to do is just wear it for about 10, 20 minutes, a couple of times a week.
Hmm.
You know, we did already clinical studies.
What kind of things would people notice if they began to use something like that?
Eradication of the gum disease.
Could it be used as preventive therapy for people who just want to have a clean mouth or clean gums?
Yes, yes.
Hmm. Is this operating on the same principles as like the old, like the Rife coils or the Rife frequencies
that I believe Tesla works with? I don't use frequencies.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't use frequencies.
So microcurrent is different than a frequency?
Micro DC current
is different
from AC current.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And so this mouthpiece doesn't need to be plugged in, or does it have everything inside of it that
one,
it needs?
One piece.
Okay.
Everything is included.
And what's the mouthpiece called?
AuraFlow.
AuraFlow.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Are there other technologies that you're developing also right now?
I'm working on a number of them, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And other discoveries that are in store, because I discovered a lot of things.
Yeah.
And one time I did the micro filming because I can reconnect nerves.
Uh-huh.
So I found I can reconnect nerves.
Wow.
And I found a molecule actually in our body that could reconnect nerves right away.
No kidding.
And that's my next
project. I should have told you, I've got to see that thumb right there.
Yeah.
I can't feel anything right there because of a disconnected nerve in that thumb. So that's interesting information. It was a stupid mistake.
One second.
Cutting ice cream. For those of you not watching the video, Dr. Nime is holding his finger above my thumb.
Yeah, here it goes. Getting any sensation?
I can feel something on the
edge
of my thumb.
Already, it's doing it. It's getting stronger now. Here you go. And I'm not hypnotizing you, by the way.
But this is different. Is this different than the nerve healing molecule that you were talking about? Because you're just holding
it in
your
hand.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's affecting that molecule.
Interesting.
Okay. Getting stronger.
I definitely feel something in my thumb, and your finger is not super close to it. Your finger is like an inch from my thumb.
Oh, it can go even far away.
Really?
Yeah. Still I'm connected.
Yeah, I can feel it. Okay. That's crazy.
And I go farther away, it gets stronger.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why does it get stronger the farther that you go away?
Yeah, because the energy
field. It seems counterintuitive.
The energy field that applies. Feel it. Is it the feeling back?
It feels different, yeah.
Okay. It's coming back.
That's
a healing I'm talking about. And that's the energy field, actually, that we talked about.
Hmm. And, okay, so you're explaining why it gets stronger the farther your hand gets away.
The farther, because it's not part of this world. It sits on the edge of the quantum field and the physical world.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's where the laws that apply are the reverse laws that apply to any field in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
So the farther two objects are away in the quantum field, the stronger the force of those two
not
objects
exert
upon one another?
When the translation is happening.
Okay.
At the edge of it.
Hmm.
You know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not inside the quantum field. Yeah. There is no energy field.
Yeah.
It's just a field of info.
So is this a similar type of frequency that people are using when they'll do something like Reiki, for example?
No.
Are you familiar with that?
No.
That's different.
That's different.
How is it different?
It's different.
When someone's just like, you know, when doing like a Reiki session
there,
with their hands hovering over your body.
It's coming from intention. And here, you know, that's one thing. The laws that apply here are different from the laws that apply there. Mm-hmm. What they are feeling is the bioelectrical field.
Mm-hmm.
And when you focus on it, you could feel the bioelectrical field.
Mm-hmm.
But then the farther away you are, the weaker.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
A huge difference. I mean, I know a lot of other details about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but mm-hmm. definitely different. It's from a spiritual, different level.
How many of these ideas come to you through what you would consider to be like a divine revealing from God versus how much of this do you get from just books, research, reading?
I don't read anything.
Et cetera. You don't read anything?
No.
No. You know how to read?
On purpose. I prevented myself from reading anything.
Why?
Because I don't want to be influenced by anybody's ideas. You see, the way I'm applying things, they materialize. I don't want to hear somebody's opinion that you cannot put it to life.
You know that's an odd approach. Not a lot of people who are, you know, in professional medicine would say that they wouldn't want to read books or
I abstain from reading, especially those types of books. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm rejecting them. I have my own inspiration.
You don't want it to corrupt the purity of your authentic thought?
The purity, yes.
Huh. Yes. That's interesting.
It's not like you mentioned Bruce Lipton. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, I respect everyone like that. They are inspired, you know, trying to do the right stuff. But here, I don't want to those things are very interesting, especially when it comes to the type of work I am doing. Mm-hmm. Again, not to corrupt the connection that I have. So, mm-hmm. you know, because here when you
do you ever feel like you're missing out, like that there's information that you could be reading that you're not?
It could be definitely. I could be missing out. There's no question in my mind about that. But I worry about their conclusions.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes they talk about the truth in there, but the conclusions they draw sometimes. It does not fit me mm-hmm. or fit my view. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the idea. That's what I mean by not corrupting it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So when you're getting these ideas for some of the devices that you're developing and the treatments that you're developing, you would say that much of it comes from God speaking to you?
A lot of things that mm-hmm. I am doing, I never learned from anybody. Mm-hmm. The whole thing I'm doing is just inspiration.
Just inspired by God.
Yes.
And you do you like what you do? Do you feel as though
I left
you're like a like you're on a mission of service? Is this something that you wake up in the morning and just love to do?
Yes.
Because you work a lot. You did, like the impression I got was you're with patients a lot in your clinic.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
More than full time.
When was the last time you took a vacation?
22 years ago.
22 years. Yeah. And besides, you stay here in Cleveland, you go to the clinic every day?
I go every day.
Yes. Wow. How many patients do you typically see in a day? Because obviously if you're spending, you know, you were like 45 minutes, an hour with me, so.
Oh, sometimes even a couple of hours.
Wow.
Depending on the case, you know, of course. I don't see too many a day mm-hmm. because it takes me a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I work from till late night usually.
Yeah. I'm curious because I'll have some people who listen to this interview that we're doing, and they're going to want to meet with you or to learn from you or to be treated. Do people fly here every time to Cleveland to be treated, or do you do much of this stuff online?
No, I have people flying from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Well, what I mean though is, you do like telemedicine? Do you do Skype?
I do telemedicine too. Mm-hmm. And actually, the tool I'm developing will help that a lot.
You mean the artificial intelligence tool?
Yes.
Yeah.
It will open the door for telemedicine actually to be more accurate.
How so?
Because it does reflect all the systems throughout the whole body.
Oh, so a practitioner will be able to test virtually and identify which systems are actually at a low frequency.
Yes.
And then treat accordingly.
Treat or refer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saved many people from, you know, from their heart attacks, because the way I measure it, it picks it up, months before it happens.
No kidding.
Yes, and we have cases. We documented the cases.
Wow.
Yes, saved their life actually because they were not having any symptoms, and yet they uncovered it with a measurement.
Wow.
You know, and I sent them right to a cardiologist. Actually, saved their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. Well, you know, if people wanted to do this and to book a session with you or something like that, do they just go to the drnime.com website?
No, Path of Faith.
Path of Faith.
Well, yes.
Is that the name of your practice, Path of Faith?
No. That's for the prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. Kathy knows that info.
Okay. Well, I can find it and put it in the show notes, which are going to be at bengreenfieldfitness.com/miracles every day. And you know, like I mentioned in the introduction, you have a book that was where I became somewhat familiar with your work. Well, you didn't write the book. It's a book about you.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. Miracles Every Day, The Story of One Physician's Inspiring Faith and the Healing Power of Prayer is the name of that book. And I'd recommend any of you who are intrigued by what we're talking about, you should read the book. What were you saying?
And that book, Cured, Dr. Jeffrey Rediger from Harvard.
Oh, I've read Cured. Is that also...
The whole chapter is about what I do.
Okay, yeah, I'd read that a long time ago. I didn't realize... Okay, so I'm thinking I read that and you were the same physician in that book, but I hadn't put two and two together. Okay, yeah, Cured is another good one. I'll link to that one in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
Just write a note to myself here. Okay, so I know that a lot of you probably have questions, and some of this may seem kind of woo-woo, kind of, you know, esoteric, this whole idea of faith-based healing. But I have to tell you that it's super interesting what Dr. Nime is doing. And so I would recommend that those of you who are interested, go to the show notes. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/miracles every day, because I'll have more information about Dr. Nime and his book. And in terms of you, Dr. Nime, for the future, besides this artificial intelligence software, is there anything else coming down the pipeline on your end that you're very excited about, or that you think is going to be transformative for medicine, for the work that you
do? Yes, we have a couple of things, actually, I'm planning on doing. And one of them is, we talked about the frequencies, is about recording them and create sort of a base info, you know, that could allow actually us to through our subconscious mind to connect to people. Let's say focusing on somebody, it does translate itself in your body as frequencies. And those, an instrument could be developed, and I'm going to be working on it. That could allow you, let's say, you know, focusing on somebody to have the full information about their physical being. And it connects to that instrument, and the instrument has all the info about illnesses and stuff like that. You know, it needs a lot of programming.
Yeah.
You know, but it's based upon our finding, too, from the frequencies of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's say I focus on you. I pick up the set of all frequencies that define you.
Okay.
And I've done something like this before. So we had a group of people. We registered the frequencies of them. And blindly, when I'm focusing on one, pick up the frequencies of that one. And the second party was guessing accurately the ones that I was focusing on.
Wow.
Yeah. So this gave me the inspiration, actually, to delve into that project, to develop it, actually, for others. It's not for me.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And is that a piece of software, or is that a
It will
a
be
hardware?
Software.
Yeah.
It will be a software, an instrument that could actually translate from your...
Right. You need an instrument on the body to actually detect the frequency, feed into that software.
From your, let's say, your hand into the instrument.
Yeah. Wow.
So it makes it available for everyone.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's my dream, actually, to make everybody...
It would basically like allow people who may not even have the same intuitive type of sensing that you have to be able to achieve that by harnessing themselves to a form of technology.
Yes, because that thing is not only for me.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. So there is a way that much of what you do can kind of live on and be taught. It's kind of cool that you're achieving that not through writing books, through telling stories, through having some kind of a practitioner teacher programming, but you're instead doing it through technology, through design of technology. It's a very interesting approach.
Everybody could use.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's one of the projects. The other is now when you are praying and there are changes happening within the body, there are certain things that pick up the frequencies that are coming into you. And I did microfilming on that. Mm-hmm. And you could see the intelligent design, actually. Like two cells communicating with each other, filling a gap, let's say empty gap. I filmed it myself years back.
Wow.
Okay? Now look at the beauty of it. it could open the door for us to recognize the effect of different molecules within the body. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'll be praying for the eye, and the eye is getting the healing. I have access to the eye to look under magnification to see which molecules are moving first. That are causing the physical effect.
Yeah.
You see?
Wow. So you're, I mean, in a way, you're actually able to a certain extent, quantify the effects that an emotion or a belief or a prayer is having on the body, and actually identify that on a molecular level in terms of what's happening, similar to almost like, you know, I realize the research gets a little bit of flack, but like the way that Masaru Emoto did with water, measuring the crystalline structure of water and its changes in the water when exposed to certain positive
similar
frequencies
things.
Or prayers. But you're doing that with a human cell.
With a human body.
Yeah. Wow, it's fascinating.
It opens the door for us to have a deeper knowledge about many mechanisms involved within our body.
Yeah.
That we are unaware of, basically, and could be healing for many disease entities.
Man, we live in such a cool era that we're able to do things like this, and that someone who probably, if you were around 2,000 years ago, you would have been laying hands on people to heal them, and now you're able to use technology to actually replicate what you do, assist what you do, enhance what you do. And I, you know, being a guy who often talks about, you know, during my talk last night that I gave at town hall, I said I like to combine ancestral wisdom with modern science, right? A little bit of traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic wisdom, and then the modern field of biohacking and modern medicine. And I just love that concept. And it seems as though you've adopted it pretty well in your practice also.
Yes.
And I know we're getting close to wrapping up here, but I want to tell everybody listening in, go to the show notes. You can ask your questions, you can leave your comments, you can leave your feedback, you can go to Dr. Nieme's website and then come out to Cleveland and see him, or you know, meet with him virtually. I think that he's a very interesting individual, and I feel honored and blessed to have connected with you, Dr. Nieme. And for those of you listening in, that's all going to be at bengreenfieldfitness.com/miracles every day. It's bengreenfieldfitness.com/miracles every day. And Dr. Nieme, A, I want to thank you for coming on the show. B, I want to thank you also for allowing your daughter to sing that wonderful musical introduction. And I'll link to her her on Spotify for those of you who want to go listen more to Ashley and some of her music. I'll put that in the show as well. And thank you so much. You have a wonderful family, beautiful family, and just a wonderful service you're doing for the world.
Thank you. I thank you. It's my honor and my blessing.
Yeah, awesome.
You know, and what you are doing is akin to what I am doing.
Yeah.
Inspiring people is a healing for all of them.
Yeah, I'm just delivering the message, baby. Finding amazing people like you and making sure more people know about you. So again, folks, bengreenfieldfitness.com/miracles every day. Dr. Nieme, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we will put a video version of this interview as well right there in the show notes for those of you who want to watch the video version of both of us sitting in his beautiful home here with a wonderful work of art behind us. We'll have a video too at bengreenfieldfitness.com/miracles every day. Thanks for listening in, and have an amazing, amazing week.
In compliance with the FTC guidelines, please assume the following about links and posts on this site. Most of the links going to products are often affiliate links, of which I receive a small commission from sales of certain items, but the price is the same for you, and sometimes I even get to share a unique and somewhat significant discount with you. In some cases, I might also be an investor in a company I mention. I'm the founder, for example, of Keon LLC, the makers of Keon-branded supplements and products, which I talk about quite a bit. Regardless of the relationship, if I post or talk about an affiliate link to a product, it is indeed something I personally use, support, and with full authenticity and transparency, recommend in good conscience. I personally vet each and every product that I talk about. My first priority is providing valuable information and resources to you that help you positively optimize your mind, body, and spirit. And I'll only ever link to products or resources, affiliate or otherwise, that fit within this purpose. So there's your fancy legal disclaimer.